You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today we're joined by Brett Devlew, blind skateboarder and motivational speaker. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Can you tell us about your sight loss, please?
I lost my vision when I was 16, 2011, November 23rd. I was sitting in the middle of history class writing the notes on the overhead. And well, the overhead is like a big light box with some film over it with a mirror to project the words on the wall. Yeah, I thought that was out of focus because it's always out of focus. And I looked at the person beside me, I'm like, can you read that? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no. Well, I just waited to see if it was just out of focus. Then the lights went on and everything was out of focus. Well, that's when I realized that something else was wrong. So I walked down to the eye doctor by myself. I don't know. I must have been in shock because I didn't think, oh, my God, I'm blind. What am I going to do? I just knew, get to the eye doctor. So I got there and she said, yeah, come back at 2:30. And my eye doctor is only there one day out of every 5 weeks. And she was there. And I'm like, yeah, can I get an appointment? And she's like, yeah, come back at 2:30. It took them 8 months or 6 to 8 months to diagnose me. But I went from 20/50 vision to 25,000 in a matter of seconds. I had Leber's hereditary optical neuropathy, or LHON, with a 3640 DNA strain of it. And that's a mitochondrial DNA mutation.
You mentioned that that happens at 16. That is like peak age of, you know, right in the middle of high school, kind of like getting to grips with the world. So like, not only how does that impact that part of your life, but how did you get into skateboarding as well? Because that also seems like it comes from that kind of time in your life.
So when I was 16, yeah, it was pretty rough because like I had my own car already. I've been driving for a bit, but legally I just got my license and I was in the process of getting my full license, not just like my beginners where I needed to drive with a parent or an adult. And I had a job. Everything was going great though, you know, it was just a normal life. Normal things. I was skateboarding then as well. I've been skateboarding since I was 4 years old, though. I just love it. First time I stepped on the board, I got it for a birthday present when I was four, and it wasn't even like a regular board. It was like shaped weird. It was a fish shape. It was not a good. It was not quality, but which is fine. That's all I needed to fall in love. But I've been skating since I was four, and then I lost my vision when I was 16, and it didn't stop me. It didn't even slow me down. Like, I couldn't wait to skateboard. I was actually going to go to the skate park the next month because an indoor one just got finished being built. But my dad said no because he didn't want me to get hurt. I understand. But then when the snow melted, it didn't even melt all the way, just enough off the sidewalk for me to be able to shovel it and the sidewalk be dry. And I brought my board out and I just skateboarded with snow on either side of the sidewalk. And I remembered what home felt like, you know, it reminded me what freedom was. And yeah, I just love skateboarding, man.
So what kind of adaptations have you had to make to skateboarding to make it, you know, easier for you now as somebody who can't see? Or is it just through like a sheer force of will? Like, this is what I love doing. I'm going to keep doing it.
David, you're the first person to ask that properly in 13 years. Everybody has just been like, how do you make it work? Like, how do you do it? Like, you can't be just doing it because you love it. Like, do you put a beeper underneath the grind rail? It's like, no, I don't. I bring black tape because I got about 2% butt, and that's starting to get a little bit harder to see nowadays, but I just go for it anyways. But I'll put black tape or like a backpack down, and just for like the chance that I'll be able to catch it last second, and just quick reflexes. And as you said, the pure will and determination to just keep skating because it's something I love, and finding the right way to skate, because there's different styles of skating. You can skate transition and stay in a half pipe forever, or you can go street and follow your buddies down the sidewalk, or you can go hit, like I jumped over a 6 set of stairs in San Francisco in November, and like that's something pros hit. Like, it's in video games, that 6 stair. It's called the EMB6. Oh man, they're the only adaption I did there, because that's the street. You can't put, it's not an adapted skate park. I've never even been to an adapted skate park. I've heard they're pretty cool, but my adapted skate park is an indoor that I go to that I skateboard for. I'm on the team and we just put black tape down. Yeah, no, all I did for the EMB6 is I put a backpack and a sweater on the ground. And when I backed up far enough to get the right amount of speed to jump over, those two dots became one. So they were no longer really that accessible. I just had to hope I hit it and got between the two with my speed.
As well as skateboarding, you're also a bit of a motivational speaker. How did that come around? Was that just through chance of your disability and then coming to terms with it and just going, right, I want to share my story with people?
We were filming for a documentary, which was all about inspiration and the fulfillment that I get from skateboarding, and to tell the inspirational story of me losing my vision and getting back on board, which is the same story I tell when I do my motivational speaking. And how I got into it was literally that. I went blind. I kept skating. People saw that and thought that was cool. And when I was able to tell my story to people personally, that I told it to the right person, I guess. And that was what they did. They did motivational speaking. So they brought me in and asked if I wanted to do it. And I was still in high school. I literally skipped class or took a spare class and went to a different high school and did a motivational speech there. And the first time it was all fluke. It just happened like that. But that's when I fell in love and started pursuing it, because I realized how much I knew I could help. As much as I love to help, I love to talk, I love to be in front of people, I love attention. It all added up. This is what I like to do.
Another thing, as if that's not enough, you're also part of an initiative to get iPads into the hands of blind and partially sighted school children. On our show, Tech Talk, we sing the praises of Apple's accessibility stuff across the board. So why is something like that so important to get iPads into blind and partially sighted school children's hands?
iPads, I'm literally using an Apple product right now to do this because it has accessibility software on it called VoiceOver, which is a screen reader. We all love screen readers. We all love VoiceOver the most, and especially ones that we could touch because it's just so darn easy. So when I went blind, people donated, like people from my mom's work came together and donated money to get me to get an iPad. I didn't even know how much easier it was going to be when I got it. Like, I tried JAWS on the computer and I was not sold because I was good at computers when I could see. So when I found the iPad, something like I could touch that read back to me, I'm like, this is a game changer. So immediately I figured I got to help other people with this. Like, this is great. So with my clothing line that you can find at theblindkidtbk.com, I donate money through my clothing line, which I always have, to my iPad initiative, where I just go buy an iPad. When I raise enough money through fundraisers or my clothes or anything, I buy an iPad and a keyboard and a smart cover. And then I go through the education board, the people with disabilities. I find a blind kid and I just go to their class. Like, I talk to their mom. I go to their class. I give them the iPad because I know it helps. And they take it, I leave, and good to go. But it's just because I love to help.
Really, really cool stuff. Finally, before you, Brett, if our listeners want to find out more about you, your skateboarding, your clothing line, your initiative, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at TBK the Blind Kid. You can find me on Facebook at the Blind Kid TBK. My website, theblindkidtbk.com, YouTube, TBK the Blind Kid. Anyway, any variation of those, you'll find me. And I'm also working on a documentary right now with my boys Hippie Mike and Tim, and we're making a documentary about me getting back into skateboarding, the Hippie Mike Industries skate park that I skate at, and just everything that we're doing right now. And it's all to build more attention towards the iPads and to just make differences in the world and all the positive impacts, because the world needs good stories right now. So keep your eyes out for the documentary. New Vision coming soon. It's awesome.
Brett Devlo, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.